You know, if we want to take a look at what's going on with the global economy, there is no better place to look than the shipping industry. And so we are very lucky to have Ian Weber with us here, Chief Executive Officer of Global Shiplease, normally based in London, but here with us in our New York studios today. Global Shiplease actually just merged with Poseidon Containers late last year. Now has $1.3 billion worth of ships, as well as 38 modern, the fleet of 38. So Ian, thank you so much for being here. Do you think the concern, from your perspective of seeing ships in the water, the concern about trade tensions has been overplayed or underblown?
Firstly, thanks for inviting me. It's good to be here again. Trade wars and tariffs and the uncertainty that creates, never good for business, but it does create opportunities. Now, for my business, you have to take a step back and look at the global container fleet and look at very big ships. And then the rest, medium-sized and smaller. The very big ships are the ones that are deployed on trades between China and North America and China and Europe. They're the ones that are going to be most affected directly by tariffs and trade wars, at least until something is resolved. The mid-sized and smaller fleet is out with that. That's 70% of global container trade. That's where my company, Global Shiplease, is focused. There'll be an indirect effect, of course, but the direct effect on global trade flows for us, we expect to be negligible.
That's interesting when you raise that 70% number, because when I think of global shipping, I think of the big monster container ships sitting in the harbor in Singapore or off, you know, in Bayonne, New Jersey, getting loaded and offloaded, these monster things. But 70% of global trade is with the medium and smaller ships, as you say. What are the drivers of that business if it isn't the global trade that we're talking about, China, Europe, China, U.S.?
Local economies. These are trade lanes that connect the Indian subcontinent and Australasia, Australasia and South America, North America and South America, Europe and South America. So it's everything else, and it's consumer products, it's semi-manufactured products, it's raw materials, it's frozen lamb, it's butter, it's wine, it's water, it's beer, it's shoes. It's all of these things that emerging economies particularly need.
Okay, so what changes have you seen in the past 6 months that sort of are indicative of either the global economy or the changing trade routes emerging from the tensions?
Continued growth in demand in these non-main lane trades, the 70%. So we've got 3 or 4% demand growth.
Where is it stemming from in particular?
It's broadly spread. So, you know, it's across the whole world, which is great because our ships are built to be able to be deployed around the world. On the other side of the equation, the supply side, the order book, ships that are contracted to be built for mid-sized and smaller container ships is tiny. In fact, the supply of mid-sized and smaller ships has contracted over the last half a dozen years. So we've got demand growth and supply contraction, which will lead to increase in price, charter rates for us, rental income, and ultimately asset values. So our ships that are coming open in the market later this year into 2020, we're hoping to renew at higher rates driven by these economic fundamentals.
What are you doing with your fleet right now? Lisa mentioned 38 ships, I believe. Mm-hmm. Are you adding to the fleet? How do you think about that capital expenditure as it relates to the visibility you may have on your upcoming business?
Sure. I mean, we've just doubled the size of the fleet. You were kind enough to observe that. We've reduced the average age of the vessels. We've improved the quality of the ships. It's a great transaction, more than doubling the size of the business. Going forward, we still see opportunities to add selectively to the fleet, second-hand vessels, you know, 5-10-year-old vessels with a charter, with a rental stream attached to it. When asset values are still relatively low, it's a cyclical industry. We're still at the bottom of the cycle, and therefore there are good investment opportunities for those who have the appetite and the capital, which we do.
How does the growth that you're seeing right now in demand compare to the past few years?
It's steady. I mean, it fluctuates from year to year. We are cyclical. Not every trade lane is going gangbusters all at the same time. There are more prosperous economies and less prosperous. But on average, 3 or 4%.
The reason why I ask is because people are talking about this sort of global deceleration. I'm just wondering if your empirical evidence bears that out.
Really difficult to tell. But with no new ships being built in our sector, and positive demand growth, even if it's 3% rather than 4%, then that's a great position for us to be in.
So your company, it's interesting, you own the ships and then you lease them to the larger container ship companies, the Maersk, the CMAs of mm-hmm. the world. So I would sense that you would probably be a very, you know, a high delta indicator to what is really going on in terms of demand, in terms of global shipping. So what's the average tenure of your contract? Do you have contracts rolling over, and what can you tell us about kind of the renegotiation rates you're currently seeing?
Sure. I mean, if you were renewing a ship in today's market, you'd be looking at a new lease, a new charter of 6, 9, 12, maybe 18 months, relatively short term, which is fine by us because we expect rates to continue to rise. So we'll then release again in an improving market. But we have a mixture of long and short term charters. We have $750 million of contracted revenue. On average, our charters run for 2.5 years. So we've got a great mixture of a bedrock of cash flow, and then some short-term charters renewing soon that we hope to be able to renew and improve market.
So the supply-demand dynamic really favors you in terms of being able to raise rates for the Maersks of the world. How much do they push back at a time when people all talk about margin compression, inflation around the edges, and the inability to pass that along to consumers?
Oh, it's a tough negotiation. You know, you've got a buyer and a seller, and you're trying to come up with a price. Our industry is very liquid, however. There are professional shipbrokers out there. Information flows extremely quickly and very broadly, so we kind of know what market rates are. But there is inevitably a bit of a tussle between owner and charterer, and you end up with something that you agree in terms of rate and duration.
So who do you compete against?
Every other container ship that's out there.
Are there people in your business that are in that leasing business, that are kind of in that flex business that you're in?
Yes. I mean, there are just over 5,000 container ships in the world. Roughly half of them are owned by owners like us, so 2,500 broadly spread. Some are on very long-term charters, some are on short-term charters. So it's a pretty fragmented industry, hence the availability of decent market information.
So just real quick here, in 30 seconds, what are you most concerned about with respect to global growth, or do you think it's just smooth sailing ahead, so to speak? Pardon my pun.
It won't be smooth sailing. For 20 years in the industry, I've known that. But we're looking forward with confidence. There will be hiccups. We're in a bit of a seasonal downturn now. We expect things to pick up come late February, early March.
A seasonal downturn in industry. Interesting. Ian Webber, thank you so much for joining us. Ian is the Chief Executive Officer of Global Ship Lease. The symbol is GSL on your Bloomberg terminal. He's based in London, but he joins us today in our Bloomberg 1130 studios.